two verses, Isaiah chapter 26, and they are the last two verses of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. Indignation is a big word meaning wrath or anger. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Now that's an interesting set of verses right there, those two verses. And actually, the meaning of these two verses has a prophetic application to them. It's referring to a future day when the nation of Israel will be in great tribulation. Of course, the tribulation period on earth is yet to come. The Bible tells us in Bible prophecy that there'll be a seven-year period of time. It's called Daniel's 70th week. And what we mean by that is Daniel had a vision, and Daniel was given a vision that there'd be 70 weeks. Now, a week is seven. In that case, it's a week of years. So it's 77th, which means 490 years. And 69 of those weeks right now can be accounted for, but there's one week that can't be accounted for because it's still in the future. And that's a future tribulation period when all the world will go through tribulation. Now, we're going through that in some ways right now with this pandemic. The whole world is suffering. You know, you can't go anywhere in the world without somebody being affected by the coronavirus. So whether you're talking about Russia, the United States, or you're talking about Australia or anything, Canada, any of these countries, everyone is going through the same thing. And it's amazing. There's no place you can go. We often would think, well, if the flu or some sort of plague or something like that was affecting a country, you figure, okay, that country is going through it, but you could escape to some other country and be free of it. But that's not the case right here with this pandemic. The whole world is being affected. And it's interesting, in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 10, there's a verse that talks about the tribulation that will come upon the whole world. And it's a future event. Maybe we're having a little taste of it. I'm not saying that this week that we're going, this pandemic, rather, is that week that's being referred to. I'm not saying that. But at least it gives us an idea that the whole world can be affected by something, and we're experiencing that with a pandemic. And in the future, Israel will be going through a tremendous tribulation. And here embedded in the prophecy of Isaiah, here chapter 26 and verses 20 and 21, God is giving encouragement to his people Israel for the future day. And he's inviting them to come to him and find that protection that is there with him until the indignation or the wrath or the judgment of God is passed. And then God will right the wrongs that are on the earth. And that's what those two verses actually mean. Now, how does that apply to us now? Well, it's interesting because ever since this pandemic began, I've heard the question, is God judging the world? Have you asked yourself that question? With this pandemic, with this virus that's going around, the question has come, is this a judgment from God? And talking with some people, I've heard many people with very clear conviction say, absolutely, this is the judgment of God. Now, some people will not take that position. And even in the beginning, when I first was analyzing it, I was saying, well, you don't know if it's a judgment of God. It might just be something that happens every 100 years or so. You know, that flu that took place in 1918, that was 102 years ago. And there's some people that were alive at that time. I remember hearing the news about a two-year-old at the time, 1918. She was 2 years old, and she's still living today. So she lived through two pandemics. She's, what, 104, whatever the math is. It works out. And she lived through two pandemics. It doesn't come around all that often. There's a Hong Kong flu, I know, in the 1960s, and the swine flu, and there's the H1N1, and all these were minor compared to what we're going through right now. But the question, when something like this is all around the world, the question is this a judgment from the Lord? And maybe it is, or maybe it's not. We don't know the mind of the Lord. But there are certainly some people that feel that way. And here in Isaiah chapter 26, we have some real clear indications that when anybody is going through a particular trial or a particular problem, no matter how small or widespread it is, there's some real clear instructions that are given to us by application in these verses. And I'd like to encourage you with them as well, because we're all affected. You know, I didn't say we're all infected. I said we're all affected. Okay? And here we are wearing masks. And, you know, I remember I spoke at America's Keswick at their first virtual Young at Heart conference. That's kind of like a Bible conference on the Bay, you know, seniors. Young at Heart. We're all young at heart, right? But they're really young at heart. And so I spoke there as their first virtual speaker for this. And I had three people in the audience, physically, okay? Three people were standing there with masks on. And I felt like I was speaking in a nursing home there because everybody had the masks on, or it was like I was in a hospital. And I remember saying as I got up to the platform, I said, well, this takes me back to my first early days of preaching. I had three people in the audience, something like that. And, you know, but really, on the other end of the line, on the technology, there were 100 people watching. And then they had a hymn sing, just like the one that we're going to have this afternoon. They had 500 people watching. And so even though there were three people there that I was looking at as I was speaking, like I'm talking now, it was just like a television camera. When a person is performing, you know, in front of the television camera, there could be a huge audience on the other side of that camera. And in this case, there was 500 people. And I gave that message, reminding them of the ways that God works. His eyes and his ears and his hand and his arm is mighty to save. All the different aspects of the Lord. His eyes are careful to watch what we're doing. His ears are open to our prayers. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All the different aspects of the person of God who is at work in lives of his people and in the world around us. And that's what I spoke on at that conference. Well, here in Isaiah chapter 26, some great reminders to you and to me whenever we're going through various trials and tribulations. So let's take a look at that. Now, the first word I want to bring to your attention that would summarize these things is the invitation. The invitation. Look what it says here in verse 20. Come, my people. That's the gracious invitation that God gives to all his people whenever we're going through difficulties. He invites us to come to himself. He invites us to come and find our rest in him. He invites us to come and find protection in him. There's the invitation. There's the care and concern for God toward his people. You know, some great verses in the scripture I think that we all need to be reminded of every now and then. How about this one? Try this one on for size. The Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. What could be a greater verse than that? I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Those are great verses from the book of Romans, that last verse. God cares for his people, and he invites us all the time, whenever we're going through problems or difficulties, to come to him. Not to go to the resources of the world to find your satisfaction or your protection or anything else. We can all trust in the social security system and our payments coming from the government and the stimulus check and everything else, but better yet to look beyond those things and look to the Lord and make sure you are putting your faith and trust in him. It says in Psalm 126, 121, it says, I will look unto the hills. Now, I can tell somebody who's really reading their Bible when I hear how they quote that. I will look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Question mark? Or from whence cometh my help? Period. How do you read that verse? I will look unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Question mark is the way it should be read. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's so many Christians who have been walking with the Lord for 30 or 40 years who will quote that verse and quote it wrong, with the wrong emphasis. I will look to the hills, and they'll say, from whence cometh my help? As if the hills give us the help that we need. And that's certainly not the case. We look beyond the hills to something even greater, the Lord. And so we're not trusting in the stimulus package to help us along. We're not trusting in the Medicare system or the Medicaid system or anything else to help us along. We're looking to the Lord for help. Now, the Lord uses those things in the times of our trials, no question. The Lord himself said, those that are sick need a physician. So there's the Lord endorsing the medical profession, saying, if you're sick, you need a physician. So the Lord endorsed that. But we don't trust in the physicians. The Old Testament, it says that of Hezekiah, at one point, he trusted in the physicians and not in the Lord. So we don't trust in the things around us. We trust in the Lord who is above all those things and yet uses those things in accomplishment of his purposes. And so we have to keep that in mind all the time. And here the Lord is telling the nation of Israel, as they're going through a problem as a nation, and whether you're going through a problem individually, your own personal experience, your own personal life, you still listen to the voice of the Lord speaking. He says, come, my people. Come to me. That gospel invitation, Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you that are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's an invitation. Isaiah chapter 55, not too far from this portion, there's that invitation, come. And the Lord said to those people through the parable of the great feast, come, all things are now ready. It's always the Lord inviting his people to find their rest and their encouragement and their blessing in him. And how do we do that in a practical way? It's not like we hear voices. We shouldn't be. It's not like there's a vision that we have necessarily, and that happened in the Old Testament time. How do we find that? You find that by opening your Bible up and reading his word. Opening his word and treating it as if God is speaking to you personally through the pages of Scripture. I remember going through a particular trial in my experience and looking at that verse in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it was like when I read that verse, that those words just jumped from the page to my own heart. And that's how we have to view Scripture. That's how we have to read Scripture. God speaking to us through his word. And so keep in mind, personal Bible study, no matter how young, no matter how old, keep your personal Bible study up. It's hard. It's been a struggle for me just in these recent months. You know, with all things coming on and responsibilities, it's easy to put those things aside and take care of pressing matters. And someone called this the tyranny of the urgent. In other words, we have something pressing in our schedule. And so we attend to that. And we put off the thing that gives us the strength that we need for the journey. That's the word of God. Remember in the case of Jonathan and David, they were passing through the land. And Jonathan didn't hear that rash order that was given by King Saul, his own father. They said, don't eat any of the honey from the trees. Anything you come along the way, don't eat it. Jonathan hadn't heard that order given by his own father. And he's walking along and he took his staff, his stick in hand, and he saw a honey patch, however it's manifested, and he touched that staff, that honey with his staff, and he put it to his mouth. And it says, as soon as he took it and put it to his mouth, his eyes brightened, and he got strengthened. Now that's a picture of what happens when we read the Word of God. When we make time for our personal Bible study, we read it with the right heart of mind, in a frame of mind, in the right heart, God will give us that strength and will brighten our radiance and give us radiance, brighten our countenance when we see the promises of Scripture coming from the Word of God. So God always extends the invitation to you and to me to come to his Word and read his Word and take of what is in it. So he says, come, my people. Notice it's to his people. Come, my people. And he says to come to the world to trust Christ as Savior. But once you come to know the Lord as Savior, then you come and take the resources. There's a great illustration, again, from the pages of Scripture, Old Testament. I love the Old Testament accounts, right? The Old Testament accounts have some great illustrations for it, so it's worthwhile looking at them. Great pictures. You know, the New Testament are explanatory verses in a lot of cases, all the epistles. But the Old Testament gives some flavor to it. It's got the same principle, but it's in narrative form. And, you know, it's the same thing. It's when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, God said to Moses, strike that rock the first time. And he struck the rock, and what happened? Water came forth, right? That's the life-giving water to the nation of Israel. That's the picture of redemption, that water coming through, right? And so that's what happens when you and I come to know Christ as Savior, where we're parched and where you don't know the Lord, we're parched and we come to Him and we say, I need salvation. And then you come to know Christ as Savior, He gives that living water, just like the woman at the well, John chapter 4. But then afterwards, the believer continually needs to be refreshed. Now Moses was told to speak to the rock. The first for salvation, the striking of the rock, is a great picture of Christ being struck there at Calvary. But the next incident of this taking place, Moses was told to speak to the rock. And that's all we have to do. All we have to do is, Lord, give me the help and the refreshment that I need. Just calling upon Him. And He can do that. But as you know, Moses didn't do that, did he? He struck the rock. Not once, but twice. And suffered because of it. But, you know, that wasn't the type. The type in the beginning was to strike the rock. But then secondly, just to simply speak. And the privilege and prerogative of every single believer is just simply calling out to the Lord. Because you are His people and He cares for us. We're the apple of His eye. And so the invitation is here. Come, my people. And that is the invitation that God gives to you and to me. Now, the second point we like to bring out in these set of verses is this. Enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. What is that? Well, what I look at it as, this, insulation. Insulation. Now, houses, buildings, they have insulation. What is insulation? Insulation is a protection. Insulation in cold weather keeps the inside warm. And in hot weather, keeps the inside cold if you have air conditioning. And so insulation is a protective cover that we have around us. And God here is reminding His people that He is their protection. They are going through, and they will, and they've always had through their history, but even more so in the future during this tribulation period that I spoke about, they're going to go through some tremendous trials and tribulations. And Christians go through many trials and tribulations. If you haven't, you're going to. Be ready for it. And so the idea is that we have our resource and our protection in the Lord. And here again, the Lord is saying to His people, come my people and enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for just a little moment. Just a little time. A little moment. That's interesting to trace that through in the scriptures. Just a little moment. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? For our affliction, which is just for a little moment, works for us a far and more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That's the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just a little moment. Sometimes it seems a lot longer. When we were in school and we didn't like the teacher, didn't like the subject being taught, whether it was grade school or high school or college, boy, that clock seemed to go forever. It takes so long to reach to the end of that period of time, the teaching. Well, that's the case many times. We go through that experience. It's a long time. But really, when it's finished, then it seems like a little moment. And that's what God is saying in this situation. The trials that we're going through, even this pandemic, will once in some time will be history. And we'll look back and say, wow, wasn't it interesting? There was a time, if the Lord doesn't come, we'll say, there was a time that we'll say, wow, I remember preaching and people had face masks on when I was preaching. It looked like you're preaching in a hospital ward or something like that, right? And we'll be able to look back. We're making history right now. This is historic and you're living through the history of this whole thing. Something to keep in mind. It's a little while. But while this is going on, you take advantage of this time to get closer to the Lord. Now, maybe it is a judgment of God because of what's taking place. Maybe it is a judgment of God. Or maybe it's just a wake-up call to Christians to say, you know what? You've let some things slide. You used to be passionate about telling people about the Lord. You used to be passionate about reading the Bible. You used to be passionate and dedicated, and you've let those things slip by. I heard a report recently that there was a survey taken, and here was the question. Do you think the church has one or lost the culture war. The culture war. And the high majority of the responses for evangelical Christians means churches that preach the gospel, that's evangelical, said half and half, that we didn't really lose it, but we haven't won it. There's a small majority that says we lost it. What does that mean? That means that TV and the movies and the music, non-Christian movies, TV, music, have taken the predominance in our society. So you walk outside, and are people familiar with the Bible? No, not like it used to be. Now, the younger generation growing up, they'll say, hey, this is normal life. But you and I, who are a bit older, remember it was just not that way. And some of you here are even older than me, all right? And you remember even earlier days where Bible verses were on the lips of the common citizen, even if they weren't Christians, even if they weren't believers. And now walking through common places in society, you hear bad language, bad, evil, it says in the scriptures, evil communication, unedifying language, as the norm, where it used to not be that way at all. Things are tough. Things are difficult. And so God's people are being encouraged, use this time of trial and tribulation to get closer to me. Go into your chambers, shut your doors behind you, and hide yourself for a while. That doesn't mean we become isolated and have no contact with anybody, but what it does mean is spend time with the Lord, communion with the Lord. And so David would say, it was good for me to draw near to God. I think it was Asaph, actually, in Psalm 73. It was good for me to draw near to the Lord. James 4 tells us, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You take that step to the Lord and He'll draw near to you. We shouldn't say, okay, Lord, I'll serve you if you just let me. That's Jacob, right? Lord, you take care of me. Bring me to this land. That's what he said in Genesis 28. You take care of me and you feed me and give me bread to eat and all these things. And then I'll give you a tenth of everything that you give me. That's Jacob. Jacob is basically, okay, Lord, I'll serve you if you take care of all my needs. That's Jacob. That's vintage Jacob, Genesis 28, end of that chapter. But the Bible-believing Christian, the dedicated Christian, says, Lord, even like Habakkuk, even if there's no fruit on the vines, I will still serve you. Even if there's nothing, even if the stalls are empty in the cattle industry, even if there's no fruit, even if there's drought, I'll still serve you. That's dedication. And when a person comes to that point in their experience with the Lord, then God says, those who honor me, I will honor. I'll make you like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, Psalm 1, who gives fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's commitment. That's steadfastness with the things of Christ. And that's what we want to have, all of us as Christians. Even if there's a pandemic, even if the condition of the church in our country goes so low, we still want to stand up and say, Lord, I love you and I want to serve you. And so the invitation is, come my people and come into your chambers and get closer to me and draw near to me. David would say, it was good that I was afflicted. Now, so I would not go astray. And that's what he was emphasizing in that verse, Psalm 119. And so maybe the Lord is calling you to serve him. Maybe the Lord is calling you because you've allowed things to drop off. Maybe at one time you were really solid in your commitment to study the Word of God every single morning, or memorize Scripture, or witness to somebody. You know, I know some people who said they wouldn't go to bed at night before they witnessed to somebody, told them about Christ. And I just wonder, of all those disciplines that once characterized their life, our lives, have they fallen off? And maybe that's why God is allowing this. Not so much as a judgment, but as a wake-up call. And say, you know, you've allowed some priorities to step, be put aside. and I look at all the technologies we have, like we have Zoom, we have other things like that, you know, and I hang my head in shame because I say to myself, you know what? This was available before this pandemic and we didn't use it. All of a sudden now we're introduced to these things and all of a sudden we realize, hey, this is a great resource that's always been there. And so it's important for us to make sure that we have our priorities in order. And so God is saying here, there's the invite, draw closer to me and spend time with me. Enter your chambers. Shut the doors behind you so there's no distractions. Hide yourself from some of these things in the world and, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is passed. And that's the third thing, the indignation. That's the wrath. That's the judgment that's being referred to. Now, again, are we in a judgment? We can't say for sure. Some people feel definitely we're in that case. But there will be a future day in which there will be judgment and is indignation. And God accomplishes what he wants to accomplish during these times. Anybody who gets a virus or dies from the virus, does that mean that they have done something wrong? Not necessarily. I've known some Christians who've died from the virus. And we can't make the judgment that they were doing something wrong. That's not necessarily the case. But God accomplishes what he wants to accomplish during the things that he allows to take place in the world around us. And so he is encouraging you and me to get closer to him. And if that were ever to be the case, that you were to go to be the Lord, then it's God's will. It's not because of a judgment if you're drawing close to the Lord. So he says, do this until the indignation is past. What does he say in verse 21? Behold, the Lord comes out of his place. Where is his place? It's in heaven. He comes out of his place. Hosea chapter 6 tells us the Lord will come out of his place again with the nation of Israel until they acknowledge their offense. After 2 days, days used as a broad term, and after 3 days, the Lord will come out of his place. So the Lord is in his place and he comes out, but he does punish the inhabitants of the earth, it says in verse 21, for their iniquity, for their sin. And the earth will also disclose her blood. Those who have been wrongly killed or murdered, just think of the tyrants of history. How many people were massacred by Stalin and by Hitler and Idi Amin and Saddam Hussein? These are people who rose through the ranks of their country through brutality and then ended up killing and murdering millions of people and seemingly get away with it. Well, they don't get away with it. Ultimately, God will judge them. And they'll stand before, and all of them, of course, pass from the scene. But if anybody does anything, God avenges that. He punishes the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also will disclose her blood, and there'll be no more cover for slain. In other words, not covered over. It's not said, well, that's how war is, and these are my competitors, so I'll do away with them, as if there's nothing. These are people who have souls. These, in many cases, are innocent people. And that doesn't even speak to the abortion issue that has taken place in our country since 1973? And all the millions of babies who could have been born, people don't realize the effect that that has upon an economy of a nation. If all of those people didn't die and they're alive, our social security system would be a lot greater than it is. There's an economic impact for those things taking place. And God maybe is saying, enough is enough. You need to pay attention to me, and he allows these things to happen on the face of the earth. And he says, in a future day, he will punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood. These things will come forth, and there'll be no more covering up of those who are slain. And so you see, God is telling the nation of Israel, you come to me and I'll deal with other people and things that are not correct in this world. We take in some sense comfort for that, because we know there are injustices in the world around us happening every single day. And God will avenge himself. Our job is to get close to the Lord. Our job is to speak clearly for the things of Christ, to share the gospel of Christ. And I want to take you to another verse. I want to finish in the last couple minutes with this verse. Now, this will be a real challenge, right? Nahum chapter 1. The book of Nahum chapter 1. So you go a little bit further past the major prophets of Daniel and Ezekiel. Go past Jonah and past Micah, and you'll find the little tiny book of Nahum. Nahum, just a few chapters in this prophecy. This is, of course, is a minor prophet, minor only because of a shorter amount of words in this prophecy, but it's Nahum chapter 1. And what a great verse this is. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. Now this gives great comfort to the Lord's people. By the way, you're allowed to use a table of contents if you need it, okay? Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Boy, I tell you, you can go to the bank, as someone said, on that verse, can't you? Look at those three phrases. The Lord is good. When you understand the grace and goodness and mercy of God, it's not that he is the policeman in the sky looking to strike you down for everything that you've done wrong. Not that at all. David would say at the end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the goodness of the Lord. Romans chapter 2, it says God uses goodness to bring men to repentance. The Lord is good. And the focus on the fact that the Lord is good, he provides for us, he cares for us, he invites us, like we looked at in Isaiah 26, he invites us to come to him. And coming into his presence, you see the blessings of the Lord. David would say this in Psalm 84, a great psalm, right? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How friendly are you, so Lord. When I come to into your presence, like the sons of Korah would anticipate coming to the temple, they're traveling a great distance over arid environment, they come to the temple, and there they are in the presence of the Lord. They say, how amiable, because there you find, in the presence of the Lord, with an open Bible, the grace and goodness of God working on our behalf. Again, his desire is toward me. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. What a great verse. What a great promise. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And time moves on, and pandemics occurred, inflation and depression, times of political upheaval and uncertainty, and all these things that take place in our world today, and we have the sureness and certainty of God's word. He will never leave us or forsake us. His word is sure and steadfast, and it endures forever. That's his word. Time and thrones move, and you know, Isaiah chapter 6, when the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord lifted up and his train filled the temple, his robes filled the temple. One king died, King Uzziah, and another king would come up and that king would die, and another king would come up and that king would die, and all these monarchs come and go, and all these movements through history, they come and go. Behind it all is a throne that never changes. It's a throne of God. And Isaiah saw it. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up and his train filled the temple. There is one administration that wasn't corrupt, wasn't damaged or anything. It is there all the time. And so the Lord is good. And he is good, and he's also a stronghold in the day of trouble. That's a fort. We used to have forts. And we'd build forts. When we were little, we'd go out there in the woods and build our own little fort. And it was like our little house in the middle of the woods. And this was this fort. And it was a sense of, for us as little kids, strength. We had woods all around us. So we, you know, in our spare time, we weren't playing on the phones. We didn't have the phones at the time. So you go out there and you learn how to build forts and fish and everything else, right? So we went there and built that fort. And that was our stronghold. And the Lord here is telling you, and he's telling me, in the middle of this tribulation, the Lord is a stronghold in a day of trouble. Is this a day of trouble? You better believe it. There's all these problems, the economic problems, the indoor dining is not available here, and this thing is not there, and all these CDC guidelines and face masks and everything else. We're in a day of trouble. And who knows the long-range implications and ramifications of no business going on like it was in the past. How's that going to play out in the next year to come? He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, but he knows those who trust in him. Are you trusting in him? First off, have you trusted him as your Savior? I'm not asking if you know about the Lord as a Savior. I'm not asking that question. I'm not asking if you know what that verse is and where it is. I'm not asking if you've memorized that verse. I'm asking you the question, have you trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior? When I was a new Christian, I remember seeing the elders in our meeting one time talking to someone in the breaking of bread. And I thought, wow, what happened with this fellow that they were so intent on talking with him? I found out afterwards he was there at the breaking of bread because he was the husband of a wife who was in fellowship, but he had trusted the Lord. There he was, not participating in the breaking of bread, but there, someone sitting and observing. Year after year after year, watching the demonstration of the Lord's service, the breaking of bread service, with the elements of the bread and the wine, and the clear testimony of men in the assembly standing up, giving praise to God, and singing the hymns. And he never trusted the Lord up to that point. And so it's possible to be raised in a Christian family. It's possible to hear the Bible. It's possible to go to youth group. It's possible all these things and never really say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. And as best as I know how to do it, I trust you as my own Savior today. That's what needs to be done. It's the matter of the heart being opened up and the Lord being allowed to come in, because we all have hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah says, chapter 17, verse 9. And we need the heart open to change us from the inside out and say, Lord, make me love you. Help me to love you. The only way that can be done is to realize the Lord Jesus died on that cross for you and for me. And once the heart is open, then salvation comes in, and then you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then you're a new person in Christ. But then we need to continue to trust the Lord. We first trust him as Savior, and then we trust him as our shepherd to lead us and guide us wherever we go. And he'll promise that. And he knows those who trust in him and continue to trust in him. When there's bad economic times, when there's health issues, when there's pandemics, you trust him even in where you go and what you do, that the Lord will keep you safe. And so here is a great verse that reminds us again of the goodness and strength of the Lord helping his people. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Do you know that Savior, the Lord Jesus? And are you trusting him today? We can hear these verses week after week after week after month, year after year after year. And then you kind of go in one ear and out the other. And it's important for us to apply the Word of God to our personal lives. That's how we get the encouragement, and that's how we get the strength. And so the Lord says to you and to me, come, my people, enter into your chambers, shut the doors, be there, for, as it were, for a while, for a little moment, till the indignation is past. God will take care of all these things. You make sure that you're in touch with me, you're connected with me. That's so important for every one of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray again for your Spirit to make these words live in our hearts and help us, Lord, to apply them in our own personal experience, that we would not leave this place without doing business with you, saying, Lord, help this to be true in my life today so that I can get the full benefit, not squander opportunities, but really draw from the inner resources and the hidden springs that come from your precious word through your Holy Spirit. So we ask, Father, for your help and for your blessing. Thank you for all that you do for us. We pray your blessing upon the assembly here. We pray for the refreshments and the food that's been provided downstairs, that you bless us, bless it to our bodies. Help our fellowship, Lord, to be sweet and an honor and a glory to you. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.